I'm going to speak very, very briefly now, just from Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. I'm not going to talk about a woman called Kelly. I'm going to talk to you about a woman called Mary. And it's in Luke chapter 8 and the first three verses, and I'm not going to go very long. There's no need for me to say much more, but I do want to bring this meeting to a conclusion by looking into God's Word. Three verses, Luke chapter 8, the first three verses. And the title is A Woman Called Mary. But it could easily be a woman called Kelly. It could easily be a woman called Josephine. It could easily be a man called Ross or Jason or anyone. It could easily be your name. And here's what it reads. And it came to pass afterward that Jesus went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. The Lord's people are fickle. Very often when you look at the Lord Jesus, you'll see there were multitudes around his feet. But there's one passage in John chapter 6, where there's the 5,000 that he's feeding. And then in John chapter 6, verse 66, there's nobody around him. At one stage, it's even said of the 12 disciples that they all forsook him and fled. God's people are fickle. But there are a number of people that never left his side. And this Mary is one of them. She was with him right throughout his ministry. She was with him when he was being crucified. And she was one of the first ones was there on the resurrection. Now, what was it that attracted Mary? What was it that drove Mary? What was it that motivated Mary to be wherever Jesus was, she was? And we're going to discover it's because of the work that he had done in her life. And just for the last 7 or 8 minutes in this meeting, I wanted to look at this work that God did in her heart to explain to you what it meant to her to know Jesus. And perhaps somebody here this evening will be able to identify with a woman called Kelly, Mary, or whoever. The first thing we notice about this woman called Mary is that she was a desperate woman. Now, Kelly has explained the darkness into which her life had plunged. A lot of it nothing to do with her. Circumstances had brought her there. Well, this woman called Mary, the Bible says that she was plagued and polluted with seven devils. Seven devils. The first thing that we notice about her desperate condition is the horror of her condition. The commentators all agree of the fact that her life was dominated and domineered by demonic activity. Whether it was literal devils that dominated her thinking or whatever, she was plagued with demonic activity. One commentator says, because there were seven devils, it means that her torment was complete. It was complete because seven is the complete number. And if you want to come to its final analysis, her life was a total and complete wreck. Complete wreck. Aren't we all a wee bit subject to the environment in which we exist? Some of us can't choose our background, haven't been able. We can't choose our background because we're born into the homes that we're born into. But the thing is, sometimes we allow ourselves to be drawn into situations. And whether it's our background, whether it's the situations we we blindly plod our way into, and decisions that we make in a foolish moment. It could be that there's someone here whose life is a complete mess. A complete mess. Tormented and tortured by the actions and habits and appetites of your life, which you formed way back in a younger life. You know, people scoff at the idea of the demonic, as I said this morning. But in his final analysis, whenever the devil entered into the Garden of Eden, that was a demonic attack against Adam and Eve. And I have to say that what's going on in our society today must be something of the demonic behind it. When we have suicides, self-harm, anxiety, depression is of a mammoth scale. And there might be someone here today and you just wish that someone could do something for the condition in which you find yourself. There's another man in the book of the scripture, in the scriptures, the man of Gadara. And he was tormented and dominated and manipulated and tortured and terrorized. And he lived a horrible life because of that which had taken control of his life. So there's a horror. And you might be able to identify with that. Secondly, there was a hopelessness of her condition. She was lost, controlled by the demonic. She would have been cut off, this woman would have been cut off from the temple, and she would have been she'd been thrown out from society, and she would have been offered no help because of her condition. In other words, society would have given up on her. I meet many people, and society has tried to help them but can't. And maybe society has given up on you. Maybe you've given up on yourself. Maybe you've looked and searched, but don't seem to be able to find any hope anywhere in anything or in anyone. And your life is just like Kelly's before she met Christ. You tried going to church a wee bit. Tried changing your friends. Even tried reading the scriptures. Tried turning over a new leaf. Tried this, that, and the other. And everything you've tried has only brought you down deeper and left you feeling worse. Here's the third thing about her. There was the helplessness of her condition. She was trapped. If she had been able to deal with this condition, she would have done so. It dogged her. I think you'll agree with me that there's nothing worse than to be trapped in fear, uncertainty, and insecurity. Trapped in the habits of life that are destroying you morally, that are destroying you mentally, that are destroying you psychologically, and destroying you physically. I had we make a joke of it now, but I had a very serious back injury a number of years ago, when they filled me with tramadol, diazepam, and oxycontin and heroin-related drugs. And I used to get Esther up out of bed in the morning in the middle of the night to look for the aliens that were under the bed. And I used to look at all these men running across the ceiling, and I didn't realize. I did not realize. And because they felt that that they had overdosed me with painkillers, because all the painkillers, all they did for me was made me stupid in my pain, because they dealt nothing with the pain. They just bombed me out of it. And then because of my condition continued to deteriorate, they became afraid then that my liver wasn't able to deal with the painkillers that I was on. And so guess what they did? They took me off every painkiller just like that. And then immediately then I went into cold turkey. And I started taking panic attacks. And now the last panic attack, even though it was about 10 years ago since this happened, my last panic attack happened last year. That's how long they continued. And my panic attack was me being lost and closed in, where these rocks opened me and then swallowed me, and I wasn't able to get out of this which had enclosed me. And as many as a person feels like that, they're trapped. Can't get out of where they are. It's an awful condition to be in, isn't it? But let me get to the end. She was a delivered woman. You notice that doesn't explain to us how it happened. Did you know that? It was sufficient to know she met Jesus. Didn't need any explanation. Didn't need to go into the wee prayer room, Kelly. Didn't need to feel like running up the aisle of Abbot's Cross. But I know that we could really easily expand on what happened. She met the Savior. She met him in power. She met him in compassion. She met him in grace. She met him in mercy. And he changed her life right around. And she was a different person from the day she met Jesus. And that's what will happen to you when you meet Jesus. Your life is changed by the power of the name of Jesus in your life. And he doesn't need to try and explain how it happens, because every person is different. Every individual, you might not be demonically oppressed. You might not even be depressed. But one thing's for sure, whether you're depressed or whether you have anxiety, whether you have an addiction or whether you're a self-righteous individual, there is one thing that has kept you out of Christ and away from Christ, and that is the demonic power of the devil. Because he has blinded the minds of them that believe not, in case the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine in your heart and you be a new creature. So I believe the scriptures are deliberate in not describing how this woman was delivered. Simply to say, she met Jesus. And I would say, there are people here today, or people listening, and you need to meet Jesus. Because your life is polluted with sin. And for some people's lives it might be obvious. And for others it's not so obvious. But one thing we certainly do know, this woman became a devoted woman. That's the change. Kelly, every time I go into Kelly's house, that music's playing all the time. And you can't have a conversation because it's so loud, you don't know what you're talking about. Her devotion, her life, this was a devoted woman. Her devotion is seen in her freedom. Notice it says, out of whom, it says. She was there because she was freed from her captivity and her slavery. And that's where she wanted to be. Because the devil will keep you from Jesus, but the moment he sets you free, you want to be with Jesus. And whom the Son sets free is? free from fear, free from shame, free from pride, free from the old addictions, free from everything, every foul fiend of hell that's keeping you from the righteous life that God instills in your heart. Seen in her freedom. Are you free tonight? Have you been set free from the fear? If I were to ask you tonight to stand up and tell us what Jesus means to you, could you come up and do what Kelly did and say, Jesus met me at a moment and at a time in my life, and I'm glad that he switched the light on and he put a song in my heart, and I've been living for Jesus ever since. Has everybody got the courage to do that? Is there a fear perhaps that you couldn't because you haven't got a testimony to tell? She's free. You see, she was freed to live as God had planned for her to live. Free to live for Jesus. Kelly, for those 30-odd years, you met Jesus and now you're living for him. It's plain for everybody to see, isn't that right? She's infectious. Sometimes a wee bit annoying, but nevertheless. I mean, I've got a sore head and I'm after having a heart attack. Just praise Jesus. You know I'm jesting, Kelly, don't you? Her devotion is seen in her freedom. Her devotion is seen in her following. Everywhere Jesus is, she is. In fact, you see her with him at the very end. And I want to tell you, not only was she with him to the very end, but when it came to her end, he was with her. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your friends can be at your deathbed, and they can sing, and they can pray, and hold your hand at your deathbed, but they can't go into death with you, but he does. Her devotion is seen in her following, and her devotion is seen in her faithfulness. She's part of the ministry. Part of the ministry. This woman that was possessed of 7 demons, whose life was a total mess and wreck, and now she's part of the ministry of Jesus. We wouldn't have let her into the kingdom. We wouldn't let her be part of the ministry, but Jesus did. And by the way, when we think of the demonic, what was the first thing Jesus told him to do? Go and tell your friends. Go and tell your friends. Tonight, all that's required is to make that same choice that she made. She decided to follow Jesus. And she's still following him. Would there be one person here tonight? And you'll say, tonight, I'm going to follow Jesus. And break the devil's hold on your life and start to live for God. Now, Kelly said, and I said, Kelly, if you had done it, you would have maybe sparked a revival in this place. She said the night God spoke to her, she wanted to run up the aisle. And she says, I've repented of. Maybe you feel like doing that before when we're singing this next hymn. Do it. Spark a move of God. Why would you let the devil hold you in your seat? What are you ashamed of? I'm ashamed of the sin and the sinfulness that was in my life until I got saved. But glory to God, I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm a follower of Jesus. And if it were me, I would want to run up the aisle this night. I'm glad to be numbered in the kingdom of God. Is there an old addiction? Is there a habit you need broken? Run up the aisle. Follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, we ask, Lord, that we may be continually aware of your hand on us, your speaking voice in the midst of the people that's here. And we pray that you'll give courage and grace, determination, Father, that the hold of the devil that's holding men and women from Christ will be broken tonight in Jesus' name. And they'll flee from the wrath to come by fleeing into the loving arms of Jesus. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. 260. And if we can sing it deliberately, if that's a term or phrase, I have decided to follow Jesus. Do you feel like running up to the aisle? I'll run down there and meet you. All right. 260, we'll stand and sing, please. There's still opportunity to come and speak with us, and the meeting's over. There's tea in the little prayer room, and there'll be folks mingling and meeting in there and chatting. I'll be around here somewhere talking to others. Don't please leave this place if you don't know Jesus. You might be religious, but you don't know Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. You listen to that now, because that's true. And you can get into a relationship of love and care and grace and fellowship with the one who gave his life for you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray as we separate and as we go to our homes or we have the cup of tea, we pray, Father, that your presence and your spirit will be abundant and abounding in our conversation. We thank you, Lord, for Kelly and for what you've done for her and what you're doing in her family. And we thank you for what you're doing in this church and in this community. And we thank you, Lord, that there's yet more ground to be possessed. And we believe it in our hearts. We pray, Father, that even now you'll be working on some dear heart who's out in the mountains and who's a stranger to God and to grace and scarcely knows what we're talking about tonight. We pray that they'll enter into this wonderful relationship in Christ Jesus. Accept of our thanks, Lord, for the things that are provided for us. Bless it to us and our fellowship together. And may we rejoice in all your love and all your goodness. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, and they shouted,
hallelujah.
And those still rejoicing,
hallelujah.